Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
it's been a great day. And thanks for coming back tonight. There should be a piece of paper on your table. If you're in the cheap seats, you didn't get one. Sorry. I made as many as I thought would be in the room, and you just, there should be plenty of copies. Y'all just spread out more than, more than usual. But it's going to be a good night. We are just going to kind of talk through some stuff, and we're going to unpack that sheet in just a little bit. Sunday nights, I hear, have been going wonderful. Have you guys been learning anything on Sunday nights? Yeah, I'm telling you, Sunday nights have been worthwhile. So I've heard. Now I've got another thing going over there, but it's worth being a part of. Matt has unpacked the concept of end times very well, and so just as an encouragement, there's really no need to keep that all to yourself. So share it with someone. Somebody who can be here, invite them. Those who cannot, share your notes with them so that they'll have something to go on. One thing that we talk about through our office is that if we don't share the biblical perspective on something like that, that we tend to agree with and that we know agrees with the Bible, somebody else will, who may leave it up to more personal interpretation than scriptural interpretation. So go ahead and share those. If you need more notes from other weeks gone by, don't feel like if you give yours away that you can't get more. We'll get you more. So it's been going well on Sunday nights, and I know that you guys have been glad to be a part of that, and that you have obviously learned something. So that's wonderful, and Matt's doing a great job with that. So continue to encourage him with your presence there. Just want to, tonight is not going to be, it's not going to be like I'm not going to be preaching at you or anything like that. I'm just going to be sharing with you something that I feel like is important to our church, and it's also really pretty important to me as we continue in who we are and what we're doing. You guys know that we have our mission statement. Glorify God, and the ways that we seek to glorify God are through worship, through connecting, and through service. Tonight, my desire is really to kind of hit on that connect right there, and we're going to talk about what that means. Like I said, we're going to unpack some of that and different things tonight, but I really want to focus on how important connecting is. One of the things that I feel like we really try to encourage here at East Haven is an involvement in a small group setting. Now, that does not discount the value of the large group experience that we have in here on Sunday morning. We're going to talk about that also in just a few minutes. A corporate worship time is one of the most important things that a church can do. Gather together to sing songs. We are blessed to have the worship ministry and the media ministry that we have that make that possible. But there is no real true exchange for a small group setting. And some people ask, why do we put so much emphasis on that small group environment, on specifically for us, we interpret that as Sunday school. That's what it means for us. Why is it so important to get connected? And the simple answer to that is that you can experience things in a small group setting, in a small group Bible study, that you cannot experience in that corporate large group setting. We place high value on connecting. Particularly, again, like I say, in that small group setting, in Sunday school. And so when we have people in our congregation that are not connecting in a small group setting, we kind of feel like they're missing a vital piece of the puzzle. And I'm going to tell you a little bit, based on research, more about why we feel like they're missing a vital piece of the puzzle. So our encouragement is always, always, always to find that small group, that Sunday school class of fewer people, 10 to 12, 20, about 30, between 30 and 40 is pretty much been our max here. But there is a value in coming out of this corporate worship setting and getting in a room of people where you can hear from a teacher, but you can also discuss in a very safe environment things concerning the Bible. So in kind of researching the importance of connecting, I have come across a survey of Gallup Research by D. Michael Lindsay. Now, this survey was of American adults over the age of 18 who are members of various Christian churches across the country. They sampled 1,002 people. 1,000 just wasn't good enough. 1,002 people surveyed by this organization, by Gallup, in order to get what we're going to be talking about today. Now, initial question really was kind of, are you satisfied with your church? Now, again, this is various churches. This is Protestant and Catholic. This is across denominational lines. So this is a survey, a sample of 1,002 people, all adults. 78% of U.S. church members say that they are very satisfied with their current church. 86% of those attend church weekly. 85% of those are in congregations over 1,000. 62% of those say that they have church friendships only weekly, that their friendships do not exist outside of church. 87% of those people who said they are very satisfied with their church happen to have their best friend at church, and 72 had no best friend at church whatsoever. What I want to see about these specifically is the fact that there is what I feel like a staggering connection between friendships and relationship with God. We're going to talk about that again in just a minute. One of the important values for me in children's ministry here at East Haven, we talk about all the time, and I talk about it to my teachers, how important it is for our kids to play at church. Now, that's not an overwhelmingly strong view of children's ministry in churches all over the place. Some people want to get the kids in the church, they want to teach them the Bible story, and they want to have a bunch of activities all here together. Here's what I find. I find a value in play because of this. I want children form relationships at school. They have their, quote, best friends that they invite to their birthday parties and slumber parties and such. They form those best friendships or those relationships mostly on the playground. And so I place a big value on play in our children's ministry because I want the kids of our church to grow up with friends at church. I don't want them necessarily just coming in, sitting down at a table, doing activities, learning a Bible story, and then getting up and leaving. I want them to have interaction with each other, social interaction, so that they will form friendships, because if they don't form friendships inside the church, inevitably they will form friendships outside the church. The goal for me as a children's pastor is that they have both, that they have friendships inside the church and outside the church, And so I don't want to ignore that. I think that's important, and the goal is that they would have both, and that even some of those would cross over, that some of those lines would kind of blur, and that some of those friends outside the church would become friends inside the church through relationship. So we talk about some key findings in here. That those who report that they're very satisfied with their current church, 87% of adults that were surveyed say that they have a best friend at church. 86% attend weekly. 84% of those report the spiritual leaders of my congregation seem to care about me. And 77% of those have eaten a meal with people in their congregation in the last year. Research has shown that the most intimate part of the house concerning friendships is not in the den or in the living room. Anybody care to guess? The kitchen. The most intimate friendships in a house are formed in the kitchen. Why? Because the kitchen is largely a pretty sacred space in a home. You're trying to get things done, and you know that's where probably you make your biggest messes and so forth. So when you have friends that come over to your house and you end up all hanging out in the kitchen, chances are you know that you're probably pretty good friends. And so sharing meals is an important part of forming friendships in church. We're going to talk about stats first, and then I'm going to get to scripture. Years ago, one of the biggest draw points, according to a Barna research, one of the biggest drawing points in a church was, firstly, can anybody guess? The pastor, the pulpit. What came from the pulpit was the largest draw for unchurched people. Can you guess number two? Music. That's right. So, but now we're finding out that people who join a church because they like the pastors or ministers, the large chunk of those people are between 18 and 34. 55% of people between 18 and 34 choose a church because they like the pastors or the ministers, compared to 35% who are over the age of 65. So it just seems that the older that you get, you just want to find a place to belong. The kind of the puzzle pieces of a church matter less. The pastors or ministers who are in place, the programs that they offer, those things begin to matter less. And the older that you get, it begins to become more about the people that you're around. Disturbing. Protestants tend to leave church more often, than Catholics. 47% of Protestants usually end up leaving a church versus 28%. Now, members between 18 and 34, which I used to be in that age range, but I'm not anymore, are much more likely to report leaving their church for a reason other than relocation. It's not because they're in the military. It's not because their job changed them. But 54% of members between 18 and 34 are much more likely to report leaving their church for a reason other than relocation. Disturbing trend. Let me tell you, just in all essence, it all goes back to friendships. Parents of teenagers are not as connected as other church members, according to Gallup research. Only 34% of parents of teenagers have a best friend in their church, compared to 39% of the general church population. And parents of teenagers say that 76% of them say they are less likely to say they feel like they belong. So there are a couple of things that I think are very revealing about this Gallup survey. And again, one of the things I want us to find tonight is that there is Don't misunderstand me when I say friendships. Hear me out on this. There is a difference in a church that is friendly and a church that cultivates friendships. Do you hear what I'm saying? All right, John Maxwell says it like this. He's talking about how your church can be unique and so forth. And he says, the number one thing that churches promote is friendliness. Now listen, if you've ever been to a church that's been unfriendly, that church has problems. The essence of it is, and John Maxwell says, every church should be friendly. All right? Every church that you walk in should be friendly. Here's what friendly is. Friendly is a time when we have in the worship service, and Robert says, hey, why don't you cross an aisle or turn to some folks around you, and why don't you shake at least four hands or hug some necks, something like that. And you go up and you say, hey, how are you today? Good to see you. Hey, how are you? Hey, y'all look great. Glad you're here. That is friendliness, and every church should have friendliness as a part of it. But that's not what makes churches unique. What makes churches unique is friendships. Again, those connecting points in a small group setting where people feel connected to those around them. Friendliness is not the same as creating a culture of friendship. So, moving on in research. Here are people that said they feel like they belong at church and people who said like they don't feel like they belong at church. The people who feel like they belong at church, 75% of them said that they feel very satisfied with their relationship with God. People who do not feel like they belong at church, that drops to 60% of those feel very satisfied with their relationship with God. You see a connection? People who feel like they belong, people who feel like they're a part of a big family are more likely to be more satisfied in their relationship with God. People who struggle to belong at church feel very dissatisfied with their relationship with God. People who feel very loved and accepted at church versus people who don't feel very loved and accepted. People who feel very loved and accepted, again, 76% of them responded with the fact that they feel very satisfied with their relationship with God. 61% of people who don't feel very loved and accepted said that they are not very satisfied. 61% of people who don't feel loved and accepted said they were very satisfied with their relationship, which means there's 39% of folks who struggle to feel loved and accepted inside the church. 39% of folks are struggling with their relationship with God. There is it's seemingly a direct correlation in how we feel and act at church. There's a direct correlation with how we feel about our relationship with God. And again, feeling very loved and accepted is not getting a few handshakes on a Sunday morning. It has nothing to do with whether or not I'm greeted at the door when I walk in for the first time. It's not about friendliness. Friendliness doesn't always make me feel loved and accepted. Friendships are what's going to make me feel loved and accepted. And obviously, by research standards, it's going to encourage my relationship with God. What's the difference between friendliness and a culture of friendship? I jumped the gun on that one. Friendliness, again, is just, friendliness has to deal with anything that we do with seemingly complete strangers. We can shake hands and be a friendly church. We can smile and be a friendly church. We can greet folks as they come in the door and be a friendly church. We can even help them find a Sunday school classroom and be a friendly church. But that's not the same as cultivating friendships. Do you think our church is marked by friendliness or a culture of friendships? Our goal, our aim is to be a church marked by a culture of friendships. And that's why, again, we put so much emphasis on that small group setting, on finding a Sunday school class that you can hang out with, that you can call upon, that will, attend to you and care for you in a time of need or a new season of life, something like that. Our goal is to be a church marked with a culture of friendships. Is it important to be friendly? Absolutely. But that's not what connects people to each other, and that's not necessarily what connects people to God. Friendships do. Research shows that church members who have a warm, intimate, and meaningful relationship with others in a congregation are more likely to describe their relationship with God in similar terms. People who responded to the survey who say that they worship with a best friend at church versus people who say they do not have a best friend at church. 60% of these people would respond by saying, yes, I have a friendship. Does that have a pointer? Oh, yeah. There we go. So that's going to change the whole presentation now, I'm telling you. So those who say they have no best friend of church, only 60% of those people would say, yes, I have a friendship with God, using that term specifically. Now, those who say they worship with the best friend at church, 74% of those are going to describe their relationship with God as a friendship. Again, direct correlation. When we become a culture of friendship here with and truly connecting people, we encourage each other in our relationships with God. Friendships help us grow closer to God. There's a 14-point difference right there. Um, 70% of members with church friendships that go beyond weekly worship services say that others in their sphere of influence would say that the members love God. 26 percentage points higher than members whose church-based friendships are not as deep. Meaning this, on this side, I have church friendships, but they're very surface level. These people right here are the people who are doing life together. They're the ones who are going over to each other's house to eat or going out to a restaurant to eat. These are the people over here that are going to say, if I'm in trouble, my church friends are the ones that I'm calling first. Again, inevitable that there is a direct correlation that people who have those deep friendships at church are more likely to be seen by their peers, folks in their sphere of influence, as having a love relationship with God there. This is the slide that you have there. It's in your hands. Not that I expect you to memorize it or dwell on it. It's not like a quiet time piece for this week for you. It's just there to make a point that when you look at that, you will clearly be able to see the direct correlation between friendships at church and relationship with God. The question was asked, in which of the following settings have you developed friendships with other people in your congregation? And these are some of the top responses. They're not in the order of popularity. These are just the responses. Which of the following settings have you developed friendships with other people in your congregation? Through Bible studies or small group gatherings, that was a popular answer. During fellowship or fun times, over a shared meal or meals during worship services through volunteering and serving together or through children's activities. Now, of all of these, which one do you think was the top answer when asked, in which of the following settings have you developed friendships with other people in your congregation? Close. Good guesses. Here it is. During fellowship or fun times was the top answer when asked, in which of the following settings have you developed friendships with other people in your congregation? Shared meals was up there because it's an important part. I often say that if there is news to break to somebody, good or bad, it's always broken best over food. Now, that's not to say if I ever invite you to lunch that I've got bad news to share with you. I don't want to make that confusion. It was fun when this morning's message, I was referring to the Bible miniseries where and how they portrayed Abraham and how he got the word from God to sacrifice Isaac. And then I walked outside the door and like the wind was blowing harder than I've ever seen it. And I thought, I hope nobody's thinking that they need to go home and sacrifice their kid or anything like that. Anyway, all that aside. I'm not really sure how to segue out of that. But during fellowship or fun times was the most popular answer. So here's the deal in all that. Have more fellowship and fun times. That's the essence of it. If you are a Sunday school teacher or leader, if you are a ministry director or anything like that, here's my encouragement to you. We put so much emphasis on connecting. We put a lot of emphasis on worshiping, a lot of emphasis on connecting, and a lot of emphasis on serving. Those are the things that draw us closer together and the things that draw us closer to God. So if you are a ministry leader or Sunday school teacher or a small group leader or anything like that, my encouragement to you is if you want to fall in line with the vision and mission of the church, obviously people are stating through research that they connect best through fellowship and fun times. So make that a part of what you do. Volunteering and serving together, they're tied for 2 and 3. Allow the folks that you're around and involved with to have some sort of service learning project. It's one of the things that we do, especially in children's ministry. In family ministry, we try to encourage families to get together in service projects like that. So that's just a side note for you that you would know why fellowship and fun is important, because we think connecting is important. We think creating a culture of friendships is important. And so, by research standards, we think that fellowship and fun times is important. In our married people big night out, we block off a specific amount of time when we begin those events just for fellowship. We say we've done, how many of those? 2 of those so far. 2, lose 3. 2 so far. And we have said that the doors open at 7, but the program doesn't start until 7:30. And here's what we found. Being in charge of those events, I've threatened to cut down that 7 to 7:30 time frame, and people have threatened me back. They said, don't you dare. We say that the doors open at 7, and what we find is that adults, married folks, start getting here at 6:45. Why? Because they want that fellowship time. They get here at 6:45. They wait for the doors to open. They walk in. They get dessert, and they sit down, and they love that uninterrupted 30 minutes of fellowship time in the beginning of that event. We're taking care of their kids in another part of the building. And so it's just adults talking with adults, you know, acting up, having a good time there. We're playing music that encourages couples to focus on each other. And they're loving it. They come early and they enjoy that time together, that fellowship time. So all that to say, let's move on. In those who are saying that they're very satisfied with their church versus those who are saying, you know what, largely I'm somewhat satisfied. Here's another research point, is that in those who are very satisfied with their church, 84% of those are saying that their leaders care for me. Now, hear me out. They're saying leaders, which is everyone who is in charge of them. It's not just pastors, but it's also Sunday school teachers and assistants and people who are in leadership positions all throughout the church. These people who are very satisfied are saying it's largely because leaders care for me, and so it encourages me to care about others. 36% of those who say I'm somewhat satisfied with my church, probably a large part of why they say they're somewhat satisfied with their church goes back to the fact that they want to feel cared about, loved, and accepted. Those who say they have a best friend at church versus those who say they have no best friend at church. 74% of those who say they have a best friend at church are saying that faith is involved in every aspect of their life. Why? Well, probably because their best friend goes to church with them and they're able to encourage them in their faith throughout the week. That was obviously a very important point. No best friend at church. Only 54% of those people are saying that faith is involved in every aspect of their life. Sometimes it can get really discouraging, especially when we look at that. We understand that there is, again, a direct correlation between friendships formed and bonded at church and relationships with God. Very quickly, I'm almost done. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. You can turn there if you want to. You can hear it as it comes right here. As iron sharpens iron, one translation says, so a friend sharpens a friend. This one says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It's not a reference just to men. It's a reference to mankind. As iron sharpens iron, so one man, one friend, sharpens another friend. It's scriptural. It's not just friendliness. Iron doesn't sharpen iron with just one strike. One connecting point. It is a constant connecting point to get the job done. And that's why we say to connect means more than just being a friendly church. It means a church that is cultivating friendships. Over in 1 John, toward the end, chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Not shake his brother's hand, not come in contact with his brother. Truly, deeply love. That's what this research is showing us, is that we cultivate friendships through a deep love of each other, helping each other on this journey, on this path of life. As the old song says, you know, we're poor wayfaring strangers, we're but pilgrims on a journey. Our ultimate destination is heaven, but we need to help each other where we are right now, and that is through friendships. Is it going to be tough? It's absolutely going to be tough. I say all the time, some people are like hugging cactuses. Cacti, cactuses. And they are. But the more that we can love each other and cultivate these friendships, the more we can encourage each other in our relationship with God. And ultimately, that's everybody's greatest need, is love and acceptance. I'm gonna leave it at that, and I'm gonna save the rest for big night out. That is ultimately everybody's greatest need, is to be loved and accepted. We see the concept of bullying in the school system right now is such a hot topic. It's such an out front topic. There have been several different programs geared for schools about anti-bullying and so forth. And a large part of that is kids' needs for love and acceptance. And it goes both ways. A kid who is ostracized, who then turns on his entire school and brings a weapon to school the next week, it's largely because they feel outside of loved and accepted kids. They feel they're on the outside looking in, and they cannot get love and acceptance. Consequently, the people who are doing the bullying and who are turning that kid off, there's a desire for love and acceptance there. When other people are bullying that kid or making fun of it, I want to be loved and accepted by this group. So instead of standing up for him or her, I'm going to be a part of it, because inside there's a great need and a great desire to be loved and accepted. And so it happens on both sides of that fence. The desire is trying to be met with love and acceptance. So again, just an encouragement that we would be a church that connects, not through friendliness. Yes, we need to have friendliness. Yes, we need to encourage friendliness. But we connect through friendships. And so I hope that's encouraged you to find a small group setting, a Sunday school class, a group that you can get along with and encourage each other in the faith, that you can connect so that you can get the overall mission and vision of glorifying God, both here inside East Haven Baptist and outside. So I know that that you can be folks who can cultivate friendships. I started to say something different, and then I changed midstream. Because you have been friends to us, to the pastors of this church. You guys have cultivated friendships with us and with our families, and so we are grateful for that. And we have cultivated friendships inside of that, and it's good to work alongside friends so that we can lead together. But again, it's not just in the handshake and the smile. It's in coming alongside someone and deeply, truly accepting them and loving them that's going to change people's relationships with God. As we round out tonight, let's just finish with a word of prayer, and then we'll be done this evening. Father, thank you for friends that I see in front of me. And I know that there's been a lot of facts and figures, a lot of statistics thrown out tonight. And no one's expected to remember them or recall them later in the week. But Lord, what this research has shown us is that it is so very important to formulate deep, long-lasting friendships inside the church, so that we can consistently and constantly encourage each other in the faith. As Scripture would say, so that we could spur one another on toward love and good works. Lord, we know that one friend sharpens another friend. And so we pray that we would be folks who are sharpening each other. Friendships are vital. And I pray that we are formulating those friendships inside of the church. And our friendships outside the church May we encourage those who go to other churches in their faith also, but those who are not involved and engaged, may we utilize our friendships outside the church very wisely, making the most, as Paul would have said in Ephesians, of every opportunity. May we wisely use those friendships outside of the church to bring people in, to be able to hear about the saving knowledge, the saving grace of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. May we use those friendships to strengthen people and build people of faith around us. And may they do the same for us as well. God, we pray that we would be a church that would truly connect with each other and connect with you, and hopefully connect a lost world to you as well. Again, thank you for the friends who sit before me, and I pray blessings on them this week as they seek to lead people to Jesus Christ by the way that they live and the way that they act and speak. Lord, may we be salt and light in a lost world. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't forget the Bible on History Channel, 7 o'clock this evening.